We present What O Jeeves by P.G. Wodehouse. Starring Michael Horton as Jeeves and Richard Browers as Bertie Wooster. With this week's guest, Ronald Fraser as Mortimer Little. Jeeves exerts the old cerebellum.
Now, touching this business of old Jeeves, my man, you know, how do we stand? Well, lots of people think I'm much too dependent on him. Most fellows, you see, are all for having their valets confine their activities to creasing trousers and whatnot, without trying to run the home. But it's different with Jeeves. Right from the first day he came to me, I've looked on him as a sort of guide, philosopher, and friend. I mean to say, take just one small instance. Every other valet I've had used to barge into my room in the morning while I was still asleep, causing much misery. But Jeeves seems to know when I'm awake by a sort of telepathy. He always floats in with a good old cup of tea exactly 2 minutes after I come to life. It makes a deuce of a lot of difference to a fellow's day.
Morning, Jeeves. Good morning, sir. Your tea.
Oh, thank you, Jeeves. It's just right as usual. I've said it before and I'll say it again, Jeeves. You're an amazing cove. So dashed competent in every respect.
Thank you very much, sir. I endeavour to give satisfaction.
And how's the weather this morning, Jeeves?
Exceptionally clement, sir.
It is a juicy morning. You were right. It's spring and all that.
Yes.
In the spring, Jeeves, a livelier iris gleams upon the burnished dove.
So I have been informed, sir. Mr. Little rang up on the telephone a few moments ago, sir. I informed him that you were not yet awake.
Well, bingo, Little.
Yes, sir. He mentioned that he had a matter of importance to discuss with you, but confided no details.
Oh, I expect I'll be seeing him at the club.
No doubt, sir.
Anyway, Jeeves, it's not likely that anything Bingo describes as a matter of importance will turn out to be really so frightfully important. I expect he's discovered some new brand of cigarette he wants me to try or something like that.
Very probable, sir.
I'm not going to spoil my breakfast by worrying about it, Jeeves. And after breakfast, if you'll bring me my Wanji, my yellowish shoes and the old green Homburg, I shall go into the park to do pastoral dances and feed the ducks.
Very good, sir. I shall attend to the matter immediately.
Thank you, Jeeves.
I'm not much of a ladies' man myself. Not like young Bingo, who's perpetually falling in love with someone or other. But on this particular morning in the park, it seemed to me that what I really wanted was some charming girl to buzz up and ask me to save her from assassins or something. So that it was a bit of an anticlimax when I merely ran into Richard Bingo Little himself, looking perfectly foul in a crimson satin tie decorated with horseshoes.
Hello, Bertie.
Bingo! My God, man! The cravat! The gent's neckwear! Why? For what reason?
Oh, the tie.
Yes, the tie.
I was given it.
Oh. Well, how are you?
Fine.
And, your Uncle Mortimer?
Fine.
Still dishing out the allowance?
Yes. Fine.
Jeeves tells me you want to talk to me about something, Bingo.
Eh? Oh, yes. I say, Bertie.
Hello.
Do you like the name Mabel?
No.
No?
No.
No. You don't think there's a kind of music in the word, like the wind rustling gently through the treetops?
No.
Oh.
Come on, tell me all. You've fallen in love again, haven't you?
Well,
Who is she?
Well, Bertie, actually, she's... Well, look, you'd better come along and meet her at lunch.
A ripe suggestion, Bingo, not to say fruity. Where are you meeting her? At the Ritz?
Near the Ritz, Bertie. Yes, definitely near the Ritz. In fact, pretty well adjacent, Bertie.
He was geographically accurate. About 50 yards east of the Ritz, there's one of those blighted tea and bun shops you see dotted about all over London, and into this, if you believe me, young Bingo dived like a homing rabbit. And before I had time to say a word, We were wedged in at a table on the brink of a silent pool of coffee left there by an early luncher. Bingo! You're not going to lunch with the girl at this godforsaken eatery.
Shh, Bertie!
Look, if you're hard up, Bingo, I don't mind.
No, Bertie.
It is a bit...
Shh! Here she comes.
Good morning. Can I take your order?
Where, Bingo?
Hello, Mabel.
Hello, Richard.
You see, I'm wearing the tie, Mabel.
Yes. It suits you beautiful.
Bingo!
Mabel, this is Bertie Wooster, a pal of mine. We were at school and Oxford together.
Pleased to meet you. Nice morning.
Fine.
What's it going to be today then, Richard?
Oh, Mabel. Yes. I think I'll have a cup of cocoa, cold veal and ham pie, slice of fruitcake and a macaroon. Same for you, Bertie.
What? No. I'll have,
How about a bit of, hot steak pudding with a sparkling limado to wash it down?
No, Bingo. I'll have a roll and butter and a small coffee.
Right, thanks. Cold veal and ham pie, slice of fruitcake, macaroon.
Well, Bertie?
That's Mabel.
Yes.
Very nice.
You don't think she's the most wonderful girl you ever saw?
Oh, absolutely. Where did you meet her, Bingo?
At a subscription dance in Camberwell.
What on earth were you doing at a subscription dance in Camberwell?
It was your man Jeeves, actually, Bertie. He asked me if I'd buy a couple of tickets. It was in aid of some charity or other.
Jeeves? I didn't know he went in for that sort of thing.
Well, I suppose he has to relax a bit every now and then. Anyway, he was there, swinging a dash-deficient shoe. I hadn't meant to go at first, but I turned up for a lark. Oh, Bertie, think what I might have missed.
What might you have missed, Bingo?
Mabel, you chump. If I hadn't have gone, I wouldn't have met Mabel.
Oh, I see.
Here we are, then. Coffee for you, sir. There, Richard.
Thanks, Mabel.
Meesh!
Just coming, sir.
Well, wrap yourself round that, Bertie.
Ugh.
These macaroons are excellent. Look, Bertie, I want your advice.
Carry on.
At least, not your advice, because that wouldn't be much use to anybody. I mean, you're a pretty consummate old ass, aren't you? Not that I want to hurt your feelings, of course.
No, I see that.
No, what I want you to do, Bertie, is put the hell binge to Jeeves and see if he can't scare up a happy ending somehow. What do you think my uncle's going to say to my wanting to marry a waitress? If he cut off my allowance, I should be very much in the soup. So tell Jeeves my future is in his hands, and that if the wedding bells ring out, he can rely on me even under half my kingdom. Well, call it 10 quid. Jeeves would exert himself with 10 quid on the horizon. What?
Undoubtedly.
Then do put it to him and see what he suggests, Bertie. Yes, put it to him as soon as you can. There's a good chap, Bertie.
I sprang the details on Jeeves that night. He'd been clearing away the dinner things, but at the sound of the young master's voice, cheesed it courteously.
Sir?
Jeeves, are you busy this evening?
No, sir.
I mean, not doing anything in particular?
No, sir. It is my practice, having concluded my duties, to read some improving book. But if you desire my services further, this can easily be postponed or indeed abandoned altogether.
Well, I want your advice. It's about Mr. Little.
Young Mr. Little, sir, or the elder Mr. Little, his uncle, who lives in Pounceby Gardens?
Good God, Jeeves, do you know everything?
I really could not say, sir.
But how do you know the elder Mr. Little lives in Pounceby Gardens? I've been pally with Bingo practically all my life, yet I don't remember ever having heard his uncle lived anywhere in particular.
The matter is susceptible of a ready explanation, sir. I am on terms of some intimacy with the elder Mr. Little's cook. In fact, there is an understanding, sir.
What? Do you mean you're engaged?
It may be said to amount to that, sir.
Well, Jeeves, this has given me a bit of a start. Somehow, I've never thought of you going in for that sort of thing, that's all.
She is a remarkably excellent cook, sir.
Well, no, please don't feel called upon to explain, Jeeves.
Yes, sir. What was it you wished to ask me about Mr. Little?
Bingo. Yes. He's fallen in love. He always does in the spring. With a waitress in a tea shop. You should have seen him, Jeeves. When she spoke to him, his entire map was suffused with a rich blush. He looked like the soul's awakening, done in pink.
I can well imagine it, sir.
Anyway, Jeeves, he wants to marry the female, but fears his uncle's wrath. So I thought we ought to rally round a trifle and help him put the thing through. Now tell me about old Mr. Little. What sort of chap is he?
Mr. Little has become a great recluse, and now devotes himself almost entirely to the pleasures of the table.
Greedy hog, you mean?
I would not, perhaps, take the liberty of describing him in precisely those terms, sir. He is what is usually called a gourmet, very particular about what he eats, and for that reason sets a high value on Miss Watson's services.
Miss Watson?
His cook, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Yes. Yes. Well, Jeeves, it looks to me as though our best plan would be to shoot young Bingo in on him after dinner one night. Well, melting mood, I mean to say, and all that.
The difficulty is, sir, that at the moment Mr. Little is on a diet, owing to an attack of gout.
Oh. Well, things begin to look wobbly, Jeeves.
No, sir. I fancy that the elder Mr. Little's misfortune may be turned to the younger Mr. Little's advantage. I was speaking only the other day to Mr. Little's valet, and he was telling me that it has become his principal duty to read to Mr. Little in the evenings. If I were in your place, sir, I should send young Mr. Little to read to his uncle.
What, nephew's devotion, you mean? Old man touched by kindly action, what?
Partly that, sir. But I would rely more on young Mr. Little's choice of literature.
That's no good, Jeeves. Jolly old Bingo has a kind face, but when it comes to literature, he stops at the Sporting Times.
I would be happy to select books for Mr. Little to read, sir. Perhaps I might explain my idea further.
Well, I can't say I quite grasp it yet, Jeeves.
If young Mr. Little were to read day after day to his uncle a series of narratives in which marriage with young persons of an inferior social status was held up as both feasible and admirable, I fancy it would prepare the elder Mr. Little's mind for the reception of the information that his nephew wishes to marry a waitress in a tea shop.
But, Jeeves, are there any books of that sort nowadays? The only ones I ever see mentioned in the papers are about married couples who find life grey and can't stick each other at any price.
Yes, sir, there are a great many such books, neglected by the reviewers, but widely read. You may have encountered All for Love by Rosie M. Banks.
No.
Nor A Red, Red Summer Rose by the same author?
No.
I have an aunt, sir, who owns an almost complete set of Rosie M. Banks. I can easily borrow as many volumes as Mr. Little might require. They make very light, attractive reading.
Well, it's worth trying, Jeeves. We'll toddle round to your aunt's tomorrow and grab a couple of the fruitiest. We can but have a bash at it.
Precisely, sir. Will that be all tonight, sir?
Yes, thank you, Jeeves. Good night.
Good night, sir.
Bingo reported a few days later that Rosie M. Banks was the goods, and beyond a question, the stuff to give the troops. Bingo had got chapter one of All for Love past his guard before he knew what was happening, and after that, there was nothing to it. Since then, they had finished A Red, Red Summer Rose, Madcap Myrtle, and Only a Factory Girl, and were halfway through The Courtship of Lord Strathmorlick. The old egg was making an undoubted hit in the right quarter. We make progress, Jeeves.
That is very satisfactory, sir.
Mr. Little tells me that when he came to the big scene in Only a Factory Girl, his uncle gulped like a stricken bullpup.
Indeed, sir.
Where Lord Claude takes the girl in his arms, you know, and says...
I am familiar with the passage, sir. It is distinctly moving. It is a great favourite of my aunt's.
Well, I think we're on the right track anyway, Jeeves.
It would seem so, sir.
In fact, this looks like being another of your successes. I've always said, I always shall say, that for sheer brain, Jeeves, you stand alone. All the other great thinkers of the age are simply in the crowd, watching you go by.
Thank you very much, sir. Excuse me one moment, sir. I fancy I heard the front doorbell.
Righto, Jeeves.
Good morning, Mr. Little.
Is Bertie... Mr. Wooster in? Ah, hello, Bertie.
Bingo, old friend of my youth. What's the matter with the jolly old vocal cord?
Cracking under the strain, Bertie. I've looked up my symptoms in the medical dictionary, and I think I've got clergyman's throat.
If you will permit me, sir, I will beat up an egg in a glass of sherry for Mr. Little. While not affecting a cure, it will certainly alleviate the discomfort of Mr. Little's complaint.
A sound idea, Jeeves. Do that with all convenient speed.
Yes, sir.
Well, Bingo, how are things on the Rosie M. Banks front, apart from the larynx, that is?
Oh, fine, fine, fine. Look, the thing is,
My uncle's gout's eased up a bit, don't you know? And tomorrow he's planning to be back at the old stand, working away with knife and fork as before, and, he wants you to go to lunch with him, Bertie.
Me? Your uncle?
Yes.
But why me? He doesn't even know I exist.
Oh, yes, he does. I've told him about you.
What have you told him about me, Bingo?
Oh, just various things. Odd things. Anyway, he wants to meet you, Bertie.
Now, wait a minute. There's more to this than meets the bally eye. Why should your uncle ask a fellow to lunch whom he's never seen?
My dear old fathead, haven't I just said I've been telling him all about you, that you're my best pal, school together, all that sort of thing? Take my tip, laddie. You go. I should think lunch tomorrow will be something special.
But why are you so dash keen on my going, Bingo? You've got something up your sleeve, haven't you?
Well, Bertie, yes. I want you to spring the news on him about my wanting to marry Mabel.
What?
Well, the thing is, Bertie, I haven't the nerve myself.
Well, I'm handy if I have, Bingo. I'm not doing your dirty work for you.
And you call yourself a pal of mine?
Well, yes, I know, but there are limits. I mean...
Bertie! You can't let me down.
I certainly can, and I intend to as well.
Is this Bertram Wooster speaking?
Yes, it jolly well is.
Bertie! Bertie!
Oh, all right. But when you say you haven't enough nerve for any dash thing in the world, Bingo, you misjudge yourself. A fellow...
Look, Bertie, mustache. Thanks. 1:30 tomorrow. Don't be late. 16 pounds per gardens. Cheerio!
Bingo! Well, I'm dashed. I really am dashed. I'm bound to say that the more I contemplated the binge over the next 24 hours, the less I liked it. However, the word of a Worcester is his bond and all that sort of rot, so at 1:30 next day I totted up the steps of number 16, Pounceby Gardens, and punched the bell. And half a minute later, I was up in the drawing room shaking hands with the fattest man I've ever seen in my life.
Mr. Worcester, I am gratified. I am honoured. I am proud to meet you.
Oh. Well, thanks very much. And you too, likewise.
You are very young to have accomplished so much.
Me?
How I wish that my nephew Richard could boast of similar achievements.
What? Oh. I don't quite...
Excuse me a moment, Mr. Walter. Yes, Mary?
Beg pardon for interrupting, sir, but a telephone call for a Mr. Wooster, sir.
Who, me? Who, me? Oh, yes. Well, it's dashed odd. Oh, well, I won't be a tick.
Of course, Mr. Wooster.
The telephone's in the hall, sir.
Oh, thanks very much, don't you know? Yes, thanks. Hello, Bertram Wooster speaking.
Hello, Bertie, you got there.
Yeah, Bingo.
Good man, I knew I could rely on you.
But Bingo...
I say, old Crumpet, did my uncle seem pleased to see you?
Yes, absolutely all over me. The old lemon's slightly clouded, I can't make it out. He keeps prattling about achievements and whatnot. Has he got me mixed up with someone else, you think?
No, it's all right. I just rang up to explain. The fact is, old man, I knew you wouldn't mind being at school together and all that, but I told him, I told him that you were the author of those books I've been reading him.
What? Rosie M. Banks?
Yes, I told him that was your pen name, and you didn't want it generally known because you were a modest, retiring sort of chap.
But Bingo...
Nice idea, what? He'll listen to you now. Absolutely hang on your words.
Well, yes, but...
I doubt if Jeeves in person could have thought up a better one than that, eh? Well, pitch it strong, old lad.
But Bingo...
And keep steadily before you the fact that I must have my allowance raised.
But I've never read it in your
bluff. I can't possibly marry on what I'm getting now, you see, Bertie.
Bingo!
And if this film is to end with a slow fade-out on the embrace, at least double is indicated.
Yes, but I...
Well, that's that. Have a good lunch. Cheerio.
Bingo? Jeeves? Oh.
Ah, Mr. Worcester, your telephone call is finished. Excellent. Won't you come down to luncheon?
Rather, yes. Thank you, yes. Thank you very much. Yes, of course. Lunch? Rather.
Do sit down, Mr. Worcester. My nephew has probably told you that I have been making a study of your books of late.
Yes, he did mention it. How did you like the ballet things?
Mr. Worcester, I am not ashamed to say that the tears came into my eyes as I listened to them. It amazes me that a man as young as you can have been able to plumb human nature so surely to its depths. To play with so unerring a hand on the quivering heartstrings of your reader. to write novels so true, so human, so moving, so vital.
It's just a knack.
Do you find this room a trifle warm, Mr. Wooster?
Oh, no, rather not. No, just right, don't you know?
Then perhaps it's the pepper. If my cook has a fault, which I am not prepared to admit, it is that she is inclined to stress the pepper a trifle in her maid dishes.
Oh, no, not at all. No, not too much. It's absolutely bang on, I say.
Indeed. She is the most excellent cook. But nothing is perfect in this world, Mr. Wooster, and I have had my cross to bear. For 7 years I have lived in constant apprehension lest some evilly disposed person might lure the good lady from my employment. To my certain knowledge, she has received many offers, lucrative offers, to accept service elsewhere. You may judge of my dismay, Mr. Wooster, when only this morning the bolt fell. She gave notice.
Good Lord!
Your consternation does credit to the heart of the author of A Red, Red Summer Rose. But I am thankful to say the worst has not happened. The matter has been adjusted. Jane is not leaving me.
Good egg!
Good egg indeed. Though the expression is not familiar to me. I do not remember having come across it in any of your books.
Really? No, maybe not.
No. But speaking of your books, Mr. Wooster.
Yes?
May I say that what has impressed me about them even more than the moving poignancy of the actual narrative is your philosophy of life.
My philosophy?
Let me tell you, Mr. Wooster, that I appreciate your splendid defiance of the outworn fetishes of a purblind social system.
Oh, good show.
I appreciate it, Mr. Wooster. You are big enough to see that rank is but the guinea stamp and that, in the magnificent words of Lord Bletchmore, in Only a Factory Girl. How does it go? Exactly. Be her origin ne'er so humble.
Humble?
A good woman is the equal of the first lady on earth.
Earth. On earth. Rather. I say, do you think that?
I do, Mr. Wooster. I am ashamed to say there was a time when I was, like other men, a slave to the idiotic convention which we call class distinction. But since I read your books...
I see, you really think it's all right for a chappie in what you might call a certain social position to marry a girl of what you might describe as the lower classes?
Most assuredly I do, Mr. Wooster.
Oh. Young Bingo, your nephew, you know, wants to marry a waitress.
I honour him for it.
You don't object?
On the contrary.
Well, in that case, I hope you won't think I'm butting in, don't you know, but, how about it?
I fear I do not quite follow you.
Well, I mean to say, his allowance and all that sort of thing. The money you're good enough to give him. He was rather hoping that you might see your way to jerking up the total a bit. I mean, you know.
Regretfully, Mr. Wooster, I fear that can hardly be arranged. You see, a man in my position is compelled to save every penny. I would gladly continue my nephew's existing allowance, but beyond that I cannot go. It would not be fair to my wife.
You... What? But you're not married.
Not yet. But I propose to enter upon that holy estate almost immediately. The lady who for years has cooked so well for me honoured me by accepting my hand this very morning.
I say, but... Oh.
Now let them try to get her away from me. Eh, Mr. Wooster?
Yes. Rather. Yes. Oh, I say. Poor old Jeeves. Jeeves! Jeeves!
Sir?
Oh, Jeeves. There you are. Jeeves?
Sir?
Nothing, Jeeves.
Very good, sir. Young Mr. Little has been trying frequently during the afternoon to reach you on the telephone, sir.
I'll bet he has. He must have got my message.
He seemed a trifle agitated, sir.
I don't wonder, Jeeves. The thing is, Jeeves, that scheme of yours, reading those books to old Mr. Little and all that... Well, it's blown out of fuse.
They did not soften him, sir?
They did. That's the whole bally trouble. You'd better brace up and bite the bullet, Jeeves. I'm afraid I've bad news for you.
Sir?
Well, I'm sorry to say that that fiancé of yours, Miss Watson, you know, the cook, you know, cook. Well, the long and the short of it is, Jeeves, that she's chosen riches instead of honest worth, if you know what I mean.
Sir?
Well, she's handed you the mitten and gone and got engaged to old Mr. Little.
Indeed, sir.
Well, you don't seem much upset.
No, sir. The fact is, I had anticipated some such outcome.
What? Then what on earth did you suggest the scheme for?
To tell you the truth, sir, I was not wholly averse to a severance of my relations with Miss Watson. In fact, I greatly desired it. I respect Miss Watson exceedingly, but I have seen for a long time that we were not suited. Now, the other young person with whom I have an understanding...
Great Scott, Jeeves! There isn't another?
Yes, sir.
How long has this been going on?
For some weeks, sir. I was greatly attracted by her when I first met her at a subscription dance in the Camberwell district of London.
My sated heart! Not...
Yes, sir. By an odd coincidence, it is the same young person, that young Mr. Little. I have placed the cigarettes on the small table. Good night, sir.
Good night, Jeeves.
In that episode of What O Jeeves, the parts were played as follows. Jeeves, Michael Horden, Bertie, Richard Briers. Mortimer Little, Ronald Fraser, Bingo Little, Jonathan Cecil. Mabel and Mary, Anne Davis. Jeeves Exerts the Old Cerebellum was adapted for radio by Chris Miller from the book The Inimitable Jeeves by P.G. Woodhouse. What O Jeeves was produced by David Hatch.